Blog Talk Radio.
What I long for,
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Network, your global transformation station for this Monday, April 5th, 2021. Good evening, everyone. I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, and tonight we are on Lesson 6 of our ministerial training entitled Leadership the Jesus Way. But as always, we begin each and every program with a word of prayer. So won't you bow with me? Most gracious and heavenly Father, I come before your throne of grace, just asking you to empty me of self and pour into this body of clay. Lord, teach your children what you would have them to know about being your servant leaders. Lord, I pray for the listeners. I pray for their heart set and their mindset, that they can receive what your holy word has to say. And Lord, I just pray that you just use me mightily to edify them and to equip them in a way that's pleasing to you. I pray this in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Now, over the past 5 weeks, we have been looking at the calling, acceptance, gifting, standards, and the standards of the called and sent. And we know that once we've been called and sent by God, and we've accepted that calling, that we should be vessels of honor that will be honored by God when we meet him face to face. And on last week, we looked at the characteristics of the heart of a true servant. And on tonight, we will be looking at the mindset of a true servant. So to be a servant, you must think like a servant. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 24, the word of God reads, and I'm reading from the NIV version. It says, "My servant Caleb thinks differently and follows me completely." Philippians 2 and 5 in the Message Bible, it says, "Think of yourselves the way Jesus thought of himself." Now, servanthood requires a mental shift, a change in your attitude. Because your attitude will determine your altitude. Now, God is always more interested in why we do something than in what we do. You see, our attitude counts more than our achievements. King Amaziah lost God's favor because he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, yet he didn't do it with a true servant's heart. Real servants serve God with a mindset, with certain attitudes. See, first and foremost, a true servant of God, they focus on others and not themselves, because this is true humility. Now, this does not mean that we think less of ourselves, but we think of ourselves less. Paul said, "Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand." This is what it means to lose your life or forgetting yourself in the service of others. When we stop focusing on our needs, we become aware of the needs of others around us. You see, Jesus emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant. When was the last time you emptied yourself for someone else's benefit? You can't be a servant if you're full of yourself. It's only when we forget ourselves that we do the things that deserve to be remembered. Unfortunately, a lot of our service is often self-serving. We serve to get others to like us. We serve to be admired or to achieve our goals. That, my brothers and sisters, is manipulation, not ministry. You know, we need to understand that when we do things like that, that the whole time we're really thinking about ourselves. And what we're really trying to tell people is how noble and wonderful we are. Some people try to use service as a bargaining tool with God. "I'll do this for you, God, if you'll do something for me." But you know what? Real servants don't try to use God for their purposes. They let God use them for his purposes. So the quality of forgetting oneself, like faithfulness, is extremely rare. Out of all the people Paul knew, Timothy was the only example he could point to. Thinking like a servant is difficult, because it challenges the basic problem of my life. I am, by nature, selfish. I think more of me. As a matter of fact, I think most about me. And that's why humility is such a daily struggle for so many. And it's a lesson that we must relearn over and over again. The opportunity to be a servant will confront us dozens of times a day. And then we're given the choice to meet those needs or deny them. What I want you to know is self-denial is at the core of servanthood. Jesus said, if anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. We can measure our servant's heart by how we respond when others treat us like servants. How do you react when you're taken for granted, bossed around, or treated as an inferior? The Message Bible paraphrases Matthew 5:41 like this. If someone takes unfair advantage of you, use the occasion to practice the servant life. Hallelujah. Real servants of God, we have the mindset of stewards and not owners. You see, we must remember that God owns everything. In the Bible, a steward was a servant entrusted to manage an estate. Joseph was this kind of servant, even as a prisoner in Egypt. First, Potiphar entrusted Joseph with his home. Then the jailer entrusted Joseph with his jail. Eventually, Pharaoh entrusted the entire nation to him. You see, servanthood and stewardship go together, since God expects us to be trustworthy in both. The Bible says the one thing required of such servants is that they be faithful to their masters. How are you handling the resources that God has entrusted to you? To become a real servant, you're going to have to settle the issue of money in your life. Jesus said, no servant can serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. He didn't say you shouldn't serve both, but he said you cannot serve both. It is impossible. Living for ministry and living for money are mutually exclusive goals. So which one will you choose? If you're a servant of God, you can't moonlight for yourself. All your time will belong to God. He insists on an exclusive allegiance from you, not part-time faithfulness. Now, as we have probably seen for many people, money has the greatest potential to replace God in our life. More people are sidetracked from serving by materialism than anything else. This is what they say. After I achieve my financial goals, I'm going to serve God. That is a foolish decision that they will regret for eternity. When Jesus is your master, money serves you. But if money is your master, you become a slave to it. Now hear me clearly. Wealth is certainly not a sin, but failing to use it for God's glory is. You see, real servants are more concerned about ministry than money. Amen. The Bible is very clear. God uses money to test our faithfulness as a servant. That's why Jesus talked more about money than he did about either heaven or hell. He said, if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? How you manage your money affects how much God will bless your life. I believe people usually fall into one or two categories, kingdom builders or wealth builders. Now, both can be very gifted at making a business grow, making deals or sales, and making a profit. Wealth builders continue to amass wealth for themselves no matter how much they make. Kingdom builders change the rules of the game. They still try to make as much money as they can, but they do it in order to give it away. They use the wealth to fund God's church and its mission in its in the world. Now, true servant leaders of the Most High God, they think about their own responsibility. Okay? They're not looking to the left or looking to the right to see what somebody else is doing. We don't compare. We're not supposed to criticize or compete with other servant leaders or ministries. You know why we don't have no time for that? Because we're too busy doing the work that God has given us to do. Besides, competition between God's servants is illogical for many reasons. First of all, we're all on the same team. Our goal is to make God look good, not us. We've been given different assignments, and we were all uniquely shaped. Paul said we would not compare ourselves with each other as if one of us were better than another or worse. We have far more interesting things to do with our lives. For you see, each of us is an original. The Word of God says we have each been fearfully and marvelously made. So there's no place for petty jealousy between servants. When you're busy serving, you don't have time to be critical. Any time spent criticizing others is time that could have been spent ministering. When Martha complained to Jesus that Mary was not helping with the work, that is the moment she lost her servant's heart. You see, real servants don't complain of unfairness. They don't have pity parties. They don't resent the people that they serve. They just trust God and keep right on serving. For you see, it's not our job to evaluate the master's other servants. The Bible says, who are you to criticize someone else's servant? The Lord will determine whether his servant has been successful. It's also not our job to defend ourselves against criticism. We should let Jesus handle that. We should follow the example of Moses, who showed true humility in the face of opposition, just like Nehemiah, whose response to critics was simply, my work is too important to stop and visit with you. Amen. That's what we should be telling people when they want to stop and criticize and complain. Look, I have too much to do. I don't have time to sit here and have a pity party with you. Now, I want you to know something. If you are going to serve like Jesus, if you are going to have a heart like Jesus, if you are going to have a mindset like Jesus, you can expect to be criticized. You see, carnal Christians, the lost in the world, they don't want to see the truth in God's word because they don't want to live up to the truth in God's word. So when you're out there ministering in spirit and in truth, a lot of people will criticize and they'll make a whole bunch of noise because they don't want people to know about what they're doing. You know, if you serve like Jesus, you're going to do some things that are unexpected because the world and even much of the church, we don't understand God's values. We don't understand what he values. The disciples criticized one of the most beautiful acts of love ever shown to Jesus. It was about a woman named Mary who took the most valuable thing she owned, expensive perfume that was in an alabaster box, and she poured it over the feet of Jesus. But her lavish service was called a waste by the disciples. But Jesus called it significant. And you see, that's all that matters. Your service to Christ is never wasted, even when others criticize you. Why? Because we base our identity in Christ. We have to remember, we have to love people unconditionally because we are loved unconditionally and we are accepted by grace. So we don't have to prove our worth when we're threatened. Most of us are too insecure to be servants. Because we're afraid our weaknesses and insecurities will be uncovered, so then we hide them in layers of protective pride and pretension. One of the most profound examples of serving from a secure self-image is Jesus, when he washed the feet of his disciples. You see, washing the feet was the equivalent of being a shoeshine boy. It was a job devoid of status. But you see, Jesus knew who he was, so it didn't threaten him or bother him to do it. The Bible says Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God, so that he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist, and hallelujah, began to wash the feet of the disciples. So, thanks to God, young ministers, if you're going to be a called and sent servant of God, you got to understand your identity is in Christ, and only secure people can serve. So the more secure you are, the more you'll want people to serve you, and the more you'll need their approval. On the other hand, when you base your worth and identity on your relationship to Christ, you are freed from the expectations of others. You are freed to serve the way God wants you to. You see, real servants don't need to cover their walls with plaques and awards to validate their work. They don't insist on being addressed by titles, and they don't wrap themselves in robes of superiority. Servants find static symbols unnecessary, and they never measure their worth by their achievement. Paul said, "You may brag about yourself, but the only approval that counts is the Lord's approval." If anyone had the chance of a lifetime to flaunt his connection and name drop, it was James. He was the half-brother of Jesus. He had the credentials of growing up with Jesus as his brother. But did anybody notice besides me when James introduced his letter? He simply referred to himself as a servant of God and the Lord Jesus. See, the closer you get to Jesus, the less you need to promote yourself. The more you know and understand that it really is all about him and not about you, then, honey, you throw them insecurities to the side. You're not worrying about what people are thinking. You're just looking at your responsibilities, and you're just trying to complete them in a way that is pleasing unto the Lord. Because true servants of God, they think of ministry as an opportunity and not an obligation. You know, true servants enjoy helping people, meeting people, doing ministry. They serve the Lord with gladness. And why do we serve with gladness? Because we love Jesus. And we're grateful for his grace. And we know serving him is the highest purpose of our life. And God has promised a reward. Jesus promised the Father will honor and reward anyone who serves him. And Paul added, he will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love to him by caring for other Christians. Imagine what would happen if just 20% of all the Christians in the world would just get serious about the role of being a servant. Just think what would happen if 20%, just 20% of the world's population would begin to think like Jesus, Really begin to honor people higher than themselves. Really begin to love on people and want to help people and edify people, because we know it's all about Christ and it's not about us and it's not about our ability and our bragging rights, but it's about God's ability and what God is doing through us. So, I ask you tonight, what are you thinking? How are you thinking? You see, saints of God, I'm taking you through this process piece by piece, because what I want you to do is truly have an opportunity to examine yourselves. We looked at how do we know if we're called. And we discussed how first we'll get an inner call and then an outward call, or maybe somebody will see something in us and they will point it out to us. And then after we're called, we have to allow the Lord to show us what our gifts are and our talents are so that we can get in the right lane. But you see, we'll never do that if we don't have the right heart set and the right mindset. Because our heart says that we are going to be obedient to God at all times, because it's about his will being done and not our agendas. It says that we will go forth in love so that God can be glorified and not ourselves, because like I just said, it's not about us, it's about him. If we want to be honored by God, if we want to be counted worthy, if we want to be counted honorable before our Father in our work, my Lord and my God, we have to know and understand that this has to be God's way. We have to be willing to lead by example, and we have to seek God's will for our lives. And we have to be willing to obey whatever he says. You know, we can't make up our minds that, you know, we're just going to, I don't like this part or I don't like that part, you know. We have to remember that we have been called and sent to build up a community. And as we do that, we have to remember and respect each and every person. We have to affirm their values. We have to respect their journey. We can't try to make them exchange their will for ours. We want them to exchange their will for God's. And we're going to lead gently and lovingly at all times. We don't go in like gangbusters talking about, listen to me, I'm a bishop, or listen to me, I'm a minister. And we have to remember something else. You know how come we have to walk in humility? Because even people of the world have intellect. They have experienced things. And they may still know some things that you don't know. So you need to be prepared, just as prepared to learn as you are to teach. Because, see, again, God can't use you if you're full of you. God can't use you if you're so spiritual that you're no earthly good. God can't use you if you're so righteous that you're self-righteous. You know, he can't use you if you're, instead of being sanctified, you are now sanctimonious. He can't use you if you are always pointing to yourself, well, I do this and I do that and I was blessed with this and I was blessed with that. Where is the pointing to the Jesus in that? That's what I want to know. So, beloved, we've got to think like him. We got to have a heart like him. And we have to continue to just serve like him and love like him. So that's my lesson for tonight. Right now I'm going to open up the lines, and if anybody has a comment or a question, you are more than happy to, you're more than welcome to ask it, and I will answer it to the best of my ability. Praise God. So we do have some of the ministers here. So I'm going to ask Minister Tina. Minister Tina, was everything clear, Precious?
Yes, ma'am. Our mindset and our heart set has to be right with Jesus. And what we're thinking and how we're thinking it is a it's a result in how people perceive what we are doing, if it's for real or if it's just to put on a show.
Yes, that's good. Yes, that's good, Minister Tina. You know, and you know, that's one thing about it is you can be in a church where, you know, people really love the Lord. There are a lot of people there that truly love the Lord. But do you know that people remember those that are over the top or come across perceived as being fake or self-righteous,
yes,
or sanctimonious? Those are the people that new believers or visitors, those are the people that they see and they'll remember.
Yes, ma'am.
So,
yes.
You know, even though all of us might not be called and sent to preach or, you know, are called and sent, but we are all servants of God and we're supposed to love one another and to, you know, make people feel welcome and to think, you know, hey, this person is here. They could be going through something, you know. We're not quick to make snap judgments because we don't know what that person is going through. We don't know what their walk has been. You know,
one of
the things that really upsets me is when I see perhaps a young lady, I saw this and it hurt my heart because a young lady walked in and she had two children. And, you know, the young lady, you could tell the young lady, this her outfit, it was cute, but it wasn't necessarily what people would consider a church outfit. And I watched this pastor get up and literally preach about these young women out here having these babies and dragging babies around and you know, no baby daddies. And this young lady was visiting because they had just came and told her that her husband, whom had been deployed, had been killed in action.
Oh.
So she was coming to the church to find comfort, but instead she got a tongue lashing from an insensitive preacher who thought he knew what was going on.
Yes. Well, I know one thing. People will always remember what you say and how you make them feel.
That's right. That's right. And we should keep that in mind. And we should also remember, how do you want people to make you feel? You know, before you walk up to somebody and do something or say something, you need to stop and think, will this help this person? Will this help? Will this hurt this person? Will this glorify God? You know, is this just me trying to be in my pride and myself? And am I trying to one-up this person or make this person feel less than so I can feel better about myself? You got to ask yourself these things. You know, because if you don't ask yourself these things, the enemy can come against you later on and you can get knocked off your path.
Yes.
And see, we get knocked off our path by thinking, oh, that'll never happen to me, or I don't think like that, or I would never.
Yes.
And that's the very thing the enemy will get you on. So we just need to be mindful of how we treat people, how we think, because what we think will determine what's in our heart.
Yes.
Okay?
Amen.
And what's in our heart is going to come out. I don't care what you say. You can walk around with a stupid-looking grin on your face all you want to. But if you really hate people and you really don't have no love in your heart,
you know, what it comes across as about looking about like that Grinch on how the Grinch stole Christmas. When he started smiling as he was stealing the gift, that's what it looks like.
Yes, yes.
Nobody's believing that you're really a loving and happy person. You know.
Yes.
So you have to remember what you say, what you think, and what you feel. All have to line up with how Jesus thought, what Jesus felt, what Jesus did. And we don't have to keep running around asking, what would Jesus do? Because we already know what he did, because it's in the Bible.
That's right.
So if you've been called and sent as a servant leader, you wouldn't be talking about what would Jesus do. You will be doing what Jesus did. Amen. So
Amen.
I just pray that you have got, that you got something out of this teaching on the, having the mindset of a servant, of a Christ-led servant. And I pray that you will just continue to grow in grace. I'm going to make this announcement now on this Sunday, April the 11th. There will be no worship service, but it will return at its regular scheduled time. Hallelujah. On the 18th, praise God. And then because of all the faithful servant leaders here, and they are so faithful, next month, with the exception of taking it to the streets or the ministerial class and the worship services, I am giving the entire staff the month off so that they can all get a good rest and a well-deserved and well-earned rest and just kind of regroup and come back to you in June, fresh and ready to go. So, again, just keep following us here at the Spirit Alive Network. I'll keep you posted on all the updates. We pray that you continue to acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you from all of us here at the Spirit Alive Network. And I want to thank you, Minister Tina, for your participation, dear. Thank you.
Thank you. I love you, sister.
Amen. God bless you, sweetheart. Good night.
Amen. God bless you. Good night.